morning. If you will turn your psalm books to 247. Welcome everyone this morning to our services. Any visitors we have, want to welcome you all back when you can. 247. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be each day. A soul winner for Jesus.
Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we come thanking Thee this morning for sparing our lives, the many blessings You bestow upon us each day of our life. Help us to be able to recognize those things and acknowledge them, Father, in thankfulness. We pray this morning for those that are not able to be here, the many we have on the lists of people that are suffering at this time. We pray that You would be with them and fill their needs as You know best. They might be able to heal and come back with us. We pray, Father, especially for Dave. We know he's in the hospital this morning, that You might be with him and help him to heal. And Bonnie, that we'd watch, remember her. And that we do for those around about us that are suffering, the things that we see that we can do to help. We pray, Father, that You'd forgive us of our sins. Help us to be humble in our obedience to Thee. Help us to recognize the great privilege we have to be able to live in this country where we can worship Thee according to Your word. So thankful, Father, for Your word. It has been brought to us that it shows us how to live, how to be pleasing in Your sight. We pray now, Father, as You be with Daryl, as he's bring forth the lesson, we might be the type of hearers that are not just hearers and forgetters, but hearers and doers. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to be reading Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 22. And if you're looking at a Pew Bible, that's on page 933. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh.
Invitation song will be 580, please. Please turn to 347. Good to have Daryl and Karen here this morning. Daryl will be our speaker. Always good to see them. Look forward to Daryl's lesson. He always has good ones. Please turn 347. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, stand.
Something this morning as I was sitting here just prior to the beginning of service. It usually happens, but this morning it was much more distinct, and that was all the happy chatter that I heard. And no doubt that is because the Lord has blessed us with a change in the seasons. It's seems to make a difference in us. When the weather changes, it gets a little better. You know, I'm the one that still likes to have some snow. Wife and I sometimes wonder if we lived in the wrong part of the country. But it's good to see the weather turn a little bit. Groundhogs were out doing their thing this morning, according to the news, and depending upon who you want to believe. One says we're going to have six more weeks of winter. One says no, spring will be coming early. Regardless, it's not till March 20th anyway, so it doesn't make a difference, I guess. But It's good to see all of you here. Everybody that's joining us through whatever digital modem you might be watching, we're glad to have you with us as well. And would pray that if you're in the area at any time, please come down and worship with us. We would like to have you here. A few weeks back, I had a sermon that involved a mirror. And what was kind of dealing with what you see in the mirror. And maybe sometimes what others might see. Well, I want us to take a look at, do you see your Father in you? The reading that Tom had for us from Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 20, and I'm just going to read it, not because he, or not that Jim, didn't, excuse me, Jim had it, but not that Jim did a bad job on it. He did an excellent job. But I want to reread it again. My son, give attention to my words. Now, in our day and age, we might apply this to young ladies as well, as the father would be instructing, but in this case, it's believed it's a father as a king to the son who's going to take over his position of authority someday. But today we might say, you know, my son, my daughter, pay attention to my words. Listen to what I say. Do not let them depart. Keep them in your eyes and in your ears. Keep them in the middle of your heart. For they are life to you. They are life to you. Flesh and health to all your flesh. When you were a child, in one way or another, at some time or another, quite often when you were an infant, and maybe before you were able to remember, oh, they look just like their mom, or they just look like their dad. Sometimes we get a little older, and we still hear that. Now, when you're together with a bunch of Hursts, you know you're together with a bunch of Hursts. Because one, many of us have this same feature around the stomach, and we have the same feature on top of the head. And we all might be standing, four or five of us in a row, and you can just all see that same feature there on the head. And you can tell. And I've heard people say, you can tell they're related, or you can tell they're a Hurst. Our friends will look at us, at you and I. Many people have said over the years, you look like your mom. You look like your dad. You take a picture. If I was to take a picture of myself, my father, and my son Michael, you could look at the three generations and tell just by our features, we're all related. What about you? What about you? Now, perhaps as you got a little older, you got tired of hearing that. I don't want to look like my dad. I don't want to look like my mom. There might be reasons. But there are a lot of things that follow from parent to child. Some parents, perhaps they have a business, and they want their child to take over that business. Dad had a TV business on the side. He'd come home from his work at the Newark Air Force Station. At least that's what it was called 30 years or so ago. And he had a TV business that he worked for many years and wanted me to get into it. I had no interest. No interest. Oh, I carried plenty of those TVs around with Dad. You know, the ones you couldn't steal because they were all made out of wood. But it wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't want to follow in my father's footsteps. Some of you had mothers, grandmothers, or maybe even a father who really could cook. And maybe the recipe was passed on down to you of something in particular. Maybe it was a cake or pie. How to make homemade noodles. There's nothing better than homemade noodles at Thanksgiving. And I just saw somebody get elbowed there. Homemade noodles and with mashed potatoes and gravy and turkey and ham. But it's a little bit of an art. Can I tell a story on you? My mother made what we considered some of the best homemade noodles. Nice thickness, not too thick, not too wide, nice flavor. My wife, we'd been married probably a year maybe, and we're going to be going to some function, I think, at the church building. So she made homemade noodles. Rolled them out, cut them up, so proud of them. Bless her heart. She pulled them up out of there. They were one big ball. Granted, it wasn't from her mother. It was from my mother she was trying to learn. Now, one thing she did learn very good from my mother was how to make mashed potatoes. And I'm going to tell another story. We sat down at the Thanksgiving meal with her mother and father. Karen had made the mashed potatoes, you know, puts them there in a mixer and does all this, that, and the other, a little bit of butter, a little bit of milk. So, you know, we sit down to eat, and her dad takes a bite of them and says, "Who made these?" Well, Karen said, "I did." "They're good. Where's the lumps?" Her mother had always used the masher. Some of you probably did. So it's always kind of a little bit of a joke. But we learn things. We learn things from our parents. Some of you can sew or quilt. Some of you know how to fix cars. Sometimes you learn it on your own. Sometimes you pass it on down to your kids. And we pass things on to people that they know and know how to do things. I was working outside of Glenford on a phone problem for a lady, and we got to talking, and her daughter had gone away to college. And she said, "It's amazing how kids nowadays don't know how to do anything." This was a farm that I was at. And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, my daughter's in the dorm room with three other girls. She came home the other day and said, 'Mom, these girls don't know how to do anything.' She said one of them had a hole in her socks, so she was going to throw them away." Now, most of the time we probably do that. But she said, "I darned them." She had a button missing. She had no idea. She said, "I'll sew your button back on." And then they talked about going out to eat. She said, "We've got the room they were in had a little kitchenette in it. Well, let's just have supper here. You know how to do that?" She had listened to and watched and learned from her mother and her grandmother how to do things. And we've all can relate stories. And if I opened it up, you could probably all tell stories of things that you had done. And you've learned from your parents. And you know what? You probably do it just like they did. Oh, you might make a little twist to it, but you do it the way they did. There was a song out a few years ago by a gentleman by the name of Paul Overstreet, and he has these words in it. I'm seeing my father in me, and I guess that's how it's meant to be. And I find I'm more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me." And isn't that true? In our everyday lives, don't we see our fathers in us? our mothers in us as we go through our lives. I don't care how old you are. If you think and you stop and you think, where did I learn how to do this? Who taught me? Many times it's mom and dad. And that's the dealing with us as it, when it comes to our spiritual life. We talked this morning in Bible class about the Galatians and how Paul was asking them, what are you doing? How foolish are you? You're supposed to be following God by faith, but you're trying to go back to the Old Testament law that required sacrifices, that you kill animals on certain days, and you do this and you do that. Paul says, that's all done away with. You're supposed to be following God and His law, the New Testament law. Do we follow God? And when people out in the world see us, do they see God? Do they see God? Philip said in the 14th chapter of the book of John, verse 8, he asked Jesus the question. And let's turn over there to that and take a look at it here. 14th chapter of the book of John in verse 8. Because I don't want to miss a point on this. He said, Lord, and he's speaking to Jesus, show us the Father. Show us the Father. And it will be sufficient for us. And Jesus got a little bit perturbed with him. Because look what he says there in that next verse. Have I been with you this long? Let's just stop it right there. I've been with you this long and you're asking me this question, Philip? You know, you go back to the things of you, younger, learning things. You're with mom and dad. Well, how do I do that? You've seen me do that. You know the next ingredient to put in. You've seen me, which is the next nut or bolt to take loose? What's the next step? And Jesus says that basically that thing. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, on a physical standpoint, you see me, you see my Father. I cut off the whiskers and I cut off the mustache and you've got my dad. And in the same way, spiritually with Jesus, he says, you see me, what's the things that I do, Philip? Well, if he asked that question to Philip, what might Philip say? Well, I've seen you raise the dead. I've seen you take people that were lame and heal them. And he might go on and mention other things that he had seen done. He says, that's the same thing that if it wasn't me standing here, if it was my Father God standing here, Philip, that's the same thing that he would be doing. You see the Father, you see me. Do we see the Father? Do we take the time to really look and put Him in our lives? You've seen that trick where somebody puts a picture up on a wall or it's in a book or something and it says, stare at it for so many seconds and close your eyes. And when you do, you can still see the silhouette of it there. That's what we're dealing with. And when you close your eyes, are you seeing Jesus? Are you seeing God the Father inside you in the way that you're living, the things you're doing, the things you're... Doesn't make any difference whether you're, you know, a young child or whether you're 80 years old. Just because you're 81 doesn't mean you get away with it. But it doesn't matter. Are we living like God? Are we living by the example that Jesus set? Let's go over to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. To what we oftentimes refer to as the Beatitudes. And we can see him in the lives of people through these teachings. We can see Jesus in the lives of people. We should be able to see Jesus in our lives through these teachings. And instead of using the word blessed or the word happy, I like to use the word fortunate. I believe it's a better definition. Fortunate are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you poor in spirit? That doesn't mean you have no spirit. That just meant your spirit is not self-centered. Your spirit is one that's willing to work for and live for others. Fortunate are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. They mourn. Are there things that bother you spiritually? Are there things that bother you in this world that you can do something about? Do you? We've had two terrible plane crashes this week. And I know oftentimes we ask the Lord to put comfort and blessing upon those people. They also need to be prayed for with their ability to adjust for what's going on, for the ones that they will no longer have in their lives. Because the adjustment for anybody that's lost a loved one is hard. And perhaps some of you have lost loved ones, and you know what that is. We pray for the comfort and we pray for blessings, but do we ever pray for the person to be able to adjust? Fortunate are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Fortunate are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's that? The person that wants to be more like God. They're fortunate. Because they're doing what they should. Fortunate are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Fortunate are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. Who's got the pure heart? God, His Son Christ. How pure is your heart? What do you see going on? How do you react to things that's happening in the world around you, in your little world? In that little bubble that you live in, how do you react to it? Is your heart a heart that's pure? Or is it a heart that reaches out with anger? Is it a heart that's full of compassion? Is it a heart that's willing to do what others want rather than what I want? What's your heart like? How pure is it? Fortunate are the peacemakers. What about there again? Let's look at that one real quick. People see you coming. Do they see somebody looking for a fight? There are some people that You go to the grocery store. You go wherever store you might be going to. And when you see them, they just look like they could bite nails into. And there are some people that are that way. I don't know why. I don't know what has happened in their life. But is that you? Are you a person that's just looking for a fight? Or are you a peacemaker? When people see you coming, they want to be with you. I think it's in the movie Tombstone. There's a scene where I can't think what the bad guy's name is right now. But anyway, he's shot up a wedding that was going to occur because the officers, the Mexican police, had killed some of his robbers. And he looks at the people and he says, "You see me coming, you better step aside." Well, when people see you coming, do they want to do that? Do they want to step aside? Or do they see you as a peacemaker and that you're someone that they want to stop and talk to? Or at least say hi to? Do they see the Father in you? Blessed are fortunate are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do people ever look at you and say, they really, seems like people are really hard on them? And you're good, and you're trying to do what's right, but things just seem to go wrong. Fortunate are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If the people see the Lord in you and you're put down and you're abused and abused because of your belief in the Lord and because of the stand you take, good. Good. You should be proud of that, because that means people are seeing God in you. They're seeing God in you. You know, we oftentimes take the time to teach Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is in the mind of Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you. Think the way Jesus thinks. Why do you want to think the way Jesus thinks? Because he thinks like the Father. Because he thinks the same way that God thinks. He talked the same way God talked. He walked the same way God walked. Wait a minute, that sounds like that song. I walk the way he walks. I talk the way he talks. Oh, that was Jesus. And people saw the Father in him. They saw the Father in him. They saw somebody with a heart full of love, willing to do whatever was necessary. Whatever was necessary, Jesus was willing to do, because that's what the Father would have done. And the Father did do all that was necessary in John 3:16. 3:16 and 17. We don't give enough credit or usage to the word of the verse 17 of this. For God so loved the world, and Dad always liked to stress that word "so." It wasn't that God just loved the world. No. God didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. He he would willing to do something for it that nobody else was, that no person would have. Satan would do everything he could to tear it apart. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's a song that is in the song books that talks about they searched through heaven and found a Savior. No, they didn't. No. And if we would never ever sing that song, I would not be unhappy. They never searched through heaven. God said, Jesus, you're the one. It wasn't like they had an ad put out. We're looking for a Savior. Apply today. And this angel came over and that angel came over and some other angel came over. No, there's none of that. They never searched through heaven to find a Savior. Jesus was the one and only. One and only. And God loved the world enough to give him his son. We talked about in Bible class again this morning, going back to what Tom brought out, Abraham and Isaac. How many of you would sacrifice your children? Well, no, wait a minute. Might depend upon the day it is and what they've done. And I think we've all felt that way. And who knows? Abraham might have felt that way a time or two. But this time when they're going up on the mountain and they're walking along and it's a father-son time. Just like mother-daughter time. Mother-granddaughter time. Father-grandson time. And they're going up on that mountain. And they're going up to worship God. What's the greatest thing that we can do in the world? The greatest thing we can do in the world is not throw somebody a birthday party. The greatest thing that we can do in the world is not put a billboard up with somebody's name on it. The greatest thing we can do is what we're here doing today, worshiping God. And they were going to go up on that mountain to worship God. I don't know how old Isaac was, probably in the range anywhere from 12 to an older teenager, scholars tell us. And they're going up. And Isaac says, he's carrying part of the stuff. Father, we got the kindling. And we've got the fire lit here. Where's the lamb? Oh, we got to go back home and get it. No, that's not what he said. Didn't say we got to go back home and get it. He said God will provide. And they went up and they built the altar. Fathers, put yourself in this place. Your child. And it's been a really good day with that child. And you've built an altar and you've got the wood there and everything's all set up. And all of a sudden, you have to grab a hold of him. I have no idea whether Isaac fought his father or not. I don't know. But he's got him tied, no doubt, hand and foot. He's ready to offer him because it said he was going to do it. And the Lord God said, stop. And he looked, and there was a ram caught in the bushes. Abraham, when you look at him right there, that's God. You see God in what Abraham was doing, giving his only begotten son, the one that counted. Ishmael didn't count. Ishmael was out of bounds. Isaac was the gift. Isaac was the one through whom everything would flow. And Abraham said, I will do what my God wants me to. I will follow him. I will live for him. I will sacrifice my son. And God stopped it, and he took the ram. Can you imagine the conversation going back down the hill, the joy that's in Abraham's heart. And maybe he's having to explain to Isaac why everything is going on. I don't know. I hope to be able to ask that question to Abraham someday. Tell me what was going on. What you felt like. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You've heard all that. Most of us have that memorized. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. Did you ever hear of a child that said, my mom hated me or my dad hated me? And I think we can all say that we've probably heard that mentioned somewhere at some time or another. Whether we've heard it ourselves or whether we heard it through something that was reported on the television or on the radio. And mom and dad just hated me. Well, if mom and dad hate you, they're not going to do what God did. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, not to put it down, not to show it hate, not to tell that son of the world how bad it was. But that he would, through Jesus, save the world. And how does the world know that? It knows it by seeing you. By seeing you. By seeing me. If the world doesn't see God in us, then we're not doing what we're supposed to as a Christian. If our family doesn't see God in us, then we're failing our family, whether it's our immediate family or relatives. If they don't see God in us, we're failing as a Christian. So, do people see God in you? Do you notice that when you walk, do you walk the way he walks? Do you talk the way he talks? Do people see the Father in you? If not, they need to. But they can't see the Father in you if you're not one of his children. And you can't be one of his children if you've never named him as your Lord and Savior. Confessed him as the Son of God, repented of your sins, and was baptized into the watery grave of baptism. As Romans says, to arise, to walk a new way of life. But perhaps you have. Perhaps you've done all that. Somewhere along the line, your walk ended up not being the walk of the Father. That you didn't walk the way he walked. You didn't talk the way he talked. People didn't see the Father in you. That's not it. It's not too late to get that back within your life. By asking God to forgive you in prayer. Studying his word and knowing what to do. And then it requires just one other thing. And that's do it. Do it. World cannot see God in us if we don't do it. And if you need to respond to the gospel call and follow the Lord and do his will, we would ask that you do it at this time as together we stand and sing.
Why keep Jesus waiting in the cold? He will bear you gently to his fold. Thank Daryl for a fine lesson. While we prepare our minds, take the Lord's Supper. Please turn to 437. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human. Need communion, let Jim know and he'll get it for you.
We just sung the song. Sometimes we, as humans, we forget. And this communion here takes us back to the cross, if we allow our minds, to remind us what God's Son done for us. As we partake the bread, let's remember Christ's broken body. And I quote this scripture many times, Acts 27, upon the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. Why does the world, so many, do not do this? But they'll say, yeah, we give upon the first day of the week. It's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, Paul told them, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside what God, how God has prospered you. That's not hard to do for people. Yet they won't go to Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, came together to break bread. So let's go to God in prayer and remember to do this. Very important to remember what Jesus has done for us. Let's give thanks, please, for the bread. Almighty God, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to come together to worship and worship the way the New Testament says, all the acts of worship, and this being one of them. To remember your Son and what he's done for us on the cross, this bread representing his broken body and the fruit of the vine representing his precious blood. We thank you so much, God, for Christ. Help our minds we go back to the cross and forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the fruit of the vine,
representing your son's blood and what he's done for us, suffering he went through, beaten, humiliated, made fun of, spat upon for our sins, not his. Help us remember that till he comes again when we take the Lord's Supper to remember your son. In his holy name, we pray, amen. We also have the opportunity to give. Let's give back to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for now as we continue our worship. As we give back to you, help us give from our hearts cheerfully as we've been prospered. Help us always, each one here, God, put you first and things will fall into place. Forgive us of our sins. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We now have announcements. Mark?
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service, and especially welcome all of our visitors we have with us today. In the way of announcements, we want to remember all the ones that's on our prayer list, especially remember Dave Hall. At this time, he's in the hospital currently, having issues with his heart and all that. We want to remember him. Is it Genesis? Okay. That's what I was about. I wasn't sure. Also, we have a thank you card here from the Ward family, thanking us for their kindness and caring through their difficult times when the passing of Les. We want to remember the Ward family in their loss of their of Ward. Also, we want to remember our Bible studies. It's on Sunday morning at 9:45. We're studying the book of Galatians. Also, on the ladies get on the phone on Sunday evenings, and they're doing First Chronicles, and they're going to be doing 21 through 23 tonight. So remember that, and that's at 5:00 on Wednesday night. The midweek service is at 6:30. They're doing the book of James. Also, the ladies are getting on the phone on the first and the third Saturday of each month. And the next one will be February the 25th. And that will be from 8:30 to 9:30. And each time that way I understand it, like they had one yesterday and they actually had more people on the phone. So each time they have it, I think they're adding to it just a little bit. So that's good. Also, we remember our church youth group, they're getting together. That'll be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I believe that's on the last Friday of this month. I don't think they're having anything until then. I think it's like, what, the 28th? Oh, okay. Okay. Of course, so we have different area events going on at the different churches that Holly has in here for just have you look at the list and if you can take a part of them. Also, the Men's Inspiration Day at Noble Park will be on March the 1st. And Matt Miller from Tennessee will be the speaker that day, and I'll put this flyer up on the board so that way you'll see it back here and if you want to go. I think that's everything I have this morning. Is there any corrections or, yeah? I guess I can tell you guys for myself, I had a test done about 2 weeks ago on my legs. And they're saying I have varicose veins. And that's the reason why I have weaknesses in my legs, because of that. And of course, I won't know the answer or what they're wanting to do until 1st of March. I guess the best way to say it's a waiting game, I guess. But that's when the next appointment I have to go and see what the doctor wants to do. And I joke and I tell them, I say, I'm getting old. It seems like I'm getting older and I'm having all kinds of things going on. So it seems like I'm not the only one. I know everyone else has too. So.
Welcome to the club.
But if there's nothing else, I'll go ahead and I'll have you stand for the empty closing prayer and I'll turn it over to the time.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and the opportunity to come before you, worship you, and sing praise to you. God, thank you for the lesson that Darrow had prepared for us, a lesson from your word. Please help us to take in and apply it to our lives and continue to grow in truth and spirit as Christians, and that we're able to reach others to help your church grow. God, please be with those mentioned in the prayer list, those that have various health conditions, those that are in the hospital, upcoming tests, procedures, and please be with the recent plane crash victims, families. You know, as this would be a challenging time too, please provide comfort to all those affected. God, please be with us as we go our separate ways, that we continue to walk in the light, we reach others, and when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.